Në si jem, në si jaja, thikëm kujnem se hajqë kë si jem, në si jem, në si jaja, edhe s'ja kuja të licin, ku mas kuj më stelë. Nice warm bed. You just remember what your old past said. Boy, you got a friend in me. Yeah, you got a friend in me. You got a friend.
Hello and welcome to another edition of the Community Living Show on the National Campus and Community Radio Networks. That's the NCRA Radio Network Center that is broadcast across British Columbia and most of Canada. And, of course, you tune into the Community Living Show. My name's Kelly Rayburn. Michael Rubin will be here in just a few moments. But first, I want to let you know that on the co-op radio side, Vancouver's co-op radio CFRO 100.5 FM is doing its fall membership drive. Since the beginning of, I would say about April of 1992, this program used to be called the Self-Advocacy Show, originally started with the original cast members, Dave and Lori Sherritt, Wendy Allen, Rich McDonald. Those are the people I do know that did the show from the very beginning. Then, of course, Phil Smeltzer came along, Hazel and Carmen Smeltzer both came along as well. I came along afterwards during, about 5 years ago, close to around there, 2016 now, 20, I would say it's more than 6 years ago now, close to it now, but maybe close to about 5 years ago now. Right about this time, 15, 14, 13, about 2011 around, close to around there. So it was after the Olympics or somewhere around there. So I started going to co-op radio for the Community Living Show. And, of course, the rest, well, they say is history, because by the time I started doing the late night show, I started thinking, well, maybe we should do something for the Community Living Show, not just for in the Vancouver perspective, not in the community, but maybe in the universities and around that area. So we wanted to make it as a broader change to a bigger source of audience memberships towards throughout the National Campus and Radio Association networks. But for co-op radio, this is the time where they do their pledge drive. And if you would like to become involved in the fall membership pledge drive for co-op radio, the number to call is 604-684-8494. That's the phone number to give them a call and make a pledge. Any pledge will do, even $10. You can pledge in for that as well. All right, so I'm just about to start off with the show. Just typing in away through the computer here. Anyways, we're going to be having some rain in the forecast. We just had some tropical storms that is happening, more like typhoon storms, even though we don't seem to have any power outage right now, but they'll probably be all in the different on the process. Right now, we're going to play you a little bit of Autism Live. And, of course, you can go to their website, www.centerforautism.com. That's part of the Center for Autism and Related Disorders. Oh, great. What now? Oh, great. Don't you just love computers when they just don't react cooperatively. I don't know why. Anyways, here we go.
Before starting any intensive behavioral intervention, any choices you make in determining your child's treatment are completely at your own discretion.
And of course, this is a broadcast of October 12th, yesterday's broadcast. Here we go.
Good morning and welcome to Autism Live. I'm Shannon Penrod, and we're webcasting to you live from the Warner Center in Woodland Hills, California. This is the home for the Center for Autism and Related Disorders. It's also the home for Autism Live. We're thrilled to be coming to you live this Wednesday morning. We've got an amazing show for you in just a few minutes. We're going to be joined by Dr. Doreen Grampichet, and she's going to be answering your questions in a segment that we call Ask Dr. Doreen. You can be writing in your questions right now on our live feature on our homepage, and I'll tell you more about that in a second. But in our second hour this morning, we will have Let's Talk Autism with Shannon and Nancy. My better half, Nancy Allspaw-Jackson, will be joining me here. We love it when she comes because she brings the fun with her. We have two amazing guests with us this morning, starting off with Stephanie Alves from Able Denim. This is sensory-friendly denim for kids to be able to wear. You're going to love it, I guarantee it. And then also a little bit later in that hour, we have Janet Lintala, who is the author of the book, The Unprescription for Autism. For those of you who are looking for more naturalistic ways of looking at getting your whole child on the autism spectrum healthy, this is a new book that's getting a lot of traction that a lot of people are loving. So we're going to have her via Skype on the show with us. Plus, we have some in the news for you, late breaking news, some very interesting stories that are happening. And all of that's happening over the next 2 hours where we will be live with you. We want to remind you that the entire show is meant to be interactive. We want to hear from you. We want to know what your thoughts, your concerns, your questions are. You can participate with us in so many different ways. In fact, Samantha is going to show you some of the different ways that you can be watching the show and some of the different ways that you can be talking with us. While she does that, I want to remind you that our homepage is autism-live.com. When you go there, if you will click on the triangle that is on the computer screen, you could be watching the live show. If you want to watch older shows, you can go to the memo tab that's in the upper left-hand corner of the computer screen, and you can find 100 of the most recent episodes there. If you want to go further back in our archives, and we have thousands of hours of video now, you can do that some of the other ways that Samantha is showing you right now. But I want to point up the live feature on our home site. It's the series of white boxes that if you'll put your cursor in the one that says your question, all you have to do is put your cursor there and type. You don't have to have a login, a username, a password, or a credit card. You don't even have to tell us who you are. You have blessed anonymity, unless you want to tell us who you are. And if you do, I won't share your question. I don't have a way of editing that out. So sometimes you guys have written in and said, why don't you show this person's question? If there's anything even remotely that will identify you, I don't share it on the homepage. We just read it aloud. But I hope that you'll participate because we truly love to hear from you guys and hear your thoughts and comments. And even if sometimes you guys write wonderful messages to us about how much you love the show, and we don't always take the time to share those during the show, but please know that we share those among our team, and they are so appreciated. So we thank you so much for sending those messages. All right, my friends, without further ado, it's time for Ask Dr. Doreen.
Dr. Doreen Grampichet is the...
Dr. Doreen is an expert in autism.
Doreen Grampichet.
Dr. Grampichet.
Dr. Doreen Grampichet.
Dr. Doreen Grampichet is a visionary in the field of autism. Now you can ask her questions on Ask Dr. Doreen. Welcome to Ask Dr. Doreen. We welcome Dr. Doreen Grandpichet. Thank you for being here.
Always a pleasure.
It's our pleasure. We'd like to remind everybody, in case they have not seen the show before, in case you haven't heard, I don't know where you've been, but Dr. Doreen Grandpichet is a true expert in the field of autism. I believe the preeminent expert in the field of autism.
Thank you, Sharon.
She is also a visionary in this field, recognizing the changes that come as we see things have changed significantly in the field of autism in the last few years. They continue to change. She helps us not only to understand what's happening, but to see things coming around the bend that maybe we can't foresee.
I hope so.
You do. You are a visionary in this field, and we are in your gratitude. We love
Thank
that you
so
spend
much.
This hour with us answering people's questions in this format. We do want to remind everybody that even an expert of your caliber, in fact, there is no expert who can answer individual specific advice in this format.
Right.
It would be a disservice to the individual on the spectrum to think that one quick question could really tell us what's going on with them. But having said that, Dr. Grandpichet gives us directions, things to look at, questions to ask, information to know when we're asking our questions so that we don't have to start in a dark room to find
right.
the answers.
Just guidance and some advice. Yes,
yes, that's right. Absolutely. So we so appreciate you doing that.
It's a pleasure.
And a reminder to all of you that you can be writing in on the live feature. In fact, the first question I want to go to is one that just came in.
Great.
Hi, Dr. Doreen and Shannon. My question today is how to stop vocal stereotypy. My son is almost 5, and he says things that don't make sense or just repeat what he heard on a movie over and over again. What is the best way to help him stop this behavior? Thank you so much, as always. And I didn't give you paper
No, no,
or pen
no problem.
Today.
I just need to write some things.
Okay, so vocal stereotypy, he's almost 5. He says things that don't make sense. Sometimes we call that silly talk. Or just repeats what he heard on a movie over and over and over again, and sometimes mm-hmm. we call that movie talk.
Mm-hmm.
What is the best way to help him stop this behavior? And thank you so much, as always.
That's a great question, and let's talk about that right now. So, you know, like any other behavior, we always want to kind of try to figure out what is the function of the behavior so that we can intervene appropriately. I find that when our kids try to, when they say things that are, that don't necessarily fit into the current time, so they're not appropriate conversational, they are still trying to communicate. I don't think that I'm one of those rare behavior analysts who doesn't think that the automatic function actually exists. I think everything has a function. And I think that when a child repeats things that are either movie talk or things that don't make sense, they actually are trying to establish some form of communication. So there's different functions, I think, for each one. A lot of times I find when a child says something, they are intending it the way they saw it in the movie, but they don't know how to apply it to the current conversation. So one of the things we used to do in the old days, and it's still pretty effective, is if it's slightly off, so let's say the child will say something and it sounds like, I'll just give an example. Like, for instance, the child will say, my backpack is red, or something like that. Mm-hmm. And it's completely out of nowhere, and you're like, okay, you recognize it, that it's out of something they watched last night. Then the way to make that fit would be like any other child would actually say, you know, they'll have a thought. A typically developing child will have a thought, but the difference is they'll introduce the thought. So they'll say, last night I was watching, you know, TV, and I saw this show, and this kid in this show had a red backpack. And then it's totally fine because they've given an introduction to their thought. But with our kids, there's no introduction. They just blurt out something they've thought of or has come back into their mind from something they saw previously. And then it's very important to give it an introduction. So wherever possible, you want to try to give that utterance an introduction and teach your child to use the introduction prior to saying the utterance. And wherever it is not possible right now, you just want to ignore that comment and then start conversation of a different type or redirect to other types of conversation. it's difficult, you know, a lot of times it's very difficult for our kids because all they're doing is trying to communicate. Mm-hmm. Like, it's funny, the example I've given on this show actually before is that when I was very little, my mom says that I used to have these books and I would just write. And I didn't know how to write, right? So when you look at these books, they were just scribbles. Mm-hmm. But I saw other people writing and I wanted to be like them. Mm-hmm. And so I would have notebooks, many, one after another, filled with just scribbles because I felt, I don't know, like I'm sitting and writing. And I think sometimes our kids try to do that. They hear language and they don't really comprehend the meaning of language or the fact that it involves turn-taking and sharing of information and all that sort of stuff. Plus, our kids often have the theory of mind deficit, so they think whatever they're thinking, you're thinking.
Right.
So they will just utter things that come into their mind, and it makes no sense. And I think it's more appropriate to try to frame it and try to teach them to frame it rather than to eliminate it. Mm-hmm. Because I think if nothing else, even if it's not, you know, you can't place it from last night's film, I think it still has communicative intent. I think children make utterances because they're trying to communicate. They just don't understand that what they're saying is inappropriate to the context.
Absolutely. Have you had an opportunity yet to see Life Animated?
No, and you keep telling me I should.
Okay, no, we have to make sure that you get a chance to screen
right.
it. And for those of you who are watching, and for this mom in particular, I really want to encourage you to see this film. It's a documentary, and there are showings of it. Look up to see if there's an opportunity to see it close to you. I think it'll be very quickly on something like Netflix. But it is a documentary about the Susskind family and their son, Owen, who is on the autism spectrum. And as a child, he regressed into autism and then became so into Disney videos. And that's
yes.
all he ever wanted to watch. And the only things he would ever say sounded like gibberish
right.
to the family. They couldn't.
Right.
They didn't understand. And every once in a while, like a little phrase from a Disney film would come out. But there's a moment in that film when it all started to make sense to the family, when they realized that there was a quote that he was saying from a Disney movie that applied to what was happening.
Right.
And in such a profound way that I still get chills thinking about it, that they were like, oh my goodness, that
yes.
it was a way in to this young man that they saw that not only did he see and hear and understand what was happening around him, but he understood it in a level that was almost symbolic.
Yes.
That he could take his world from Disney and apply the symbols from that to say, this is like this, and put them
that's
together.
Right. That's right.
And it's mind-blowing when
that's
you think
right.
about, you know, how much intelligence
how profound
that
it
takes.
Is. Absolutely.
And so the family then saw this as a way in and started using the Disney videos to get him to the point where he's fully verbal and now living on his own and
that's amazing.
An adult.
Amazing.
So it's a very exciting, and it's funny because I think they started out to make a movie about Owen communicating with Disney films, but because he was at a point in his life where he was transitioning to living alone, it really became about how do we help Owen to live alone, and here's the backstory. But it's worth it for both of those
That's
things.
That's awesome.
It's
That's
a
amazing.
Really lovely.
That's amazing.
And we have had Cornelia Susskind on the show, the mom. She's an amazing mom. The whole family is. And I think people get excited because the dad, once, I think he felt he's a, you know, a Pulitzer Prize winning author, writer. And I think he felt a little removed, like he didn't know what to do. And we see that with the dads a lot. But once he saw this,
he got involved.
He got so involved.
Yes.
And the mom very, very intelligently went, okay, Ron, you're in charge of this. This is your in. And it was his in to
That's
his
amazing.
Child. And
That's
it's
amazing.
A great, great film. I want to encourage, because it will make you look at some of the silly talk and some of the movie speak
and
in a
see
different
how it gives
way.
Meaning. Yes, yes.
In a different
absolutely.
Way. I think it'll expand. But, and we've talked a little bit about, though, how to minimize it so that it isn't constant.
Yeah, I mean, I think it's just a matter of redirecting it until you have the way to make it more appropriate to the environment. You know, like, and as you said, and what this movie, I think, teaches, which is really important, is that sometimes the kids are saying something, we can't place it, so
yeah.
we think it's inappropriate. But again, if there was an appropriate introduction,
right?
You know, this reminds me of
exactly,
and then the rest of it you can say.
It would all tumble.
It's all about introducing the conversation appropriately.
Yes, absolutely. All right, I love that, and love that we got to do a plug for Life.
All right, so we're going to pause it right there for just a moment here. That is Autism Live broadcast of October 12th. That was yesterday's program. You can also check them out at centerforautism.com for more details. And, of course, they're on facebook.com/autismlive as well. Michael's here.
Good morning, Kelly.
Hey, how's it going?
Good.
All right, so we're going to come right back. For those people who are listening to Co-op Radio, stay tuned for the pledge drive and all the details of how to make a pledge for Co-op Radio. For everybody else, we will be back in just a moment here on the NCRA Radio Network. So you're tuned into the Community Living Show.
Vancouver Art and Leisure and Sunny Chen of Sad China present Objet d'Arc, an evening of art and music aimed to empower women and femme-identifying individuals in our community. Objet d'Arc features artwork by female artists, including photographers Amique Fallaud, multidisciplinary artist Mickey Aurora, and emerging artists like Kyla James, Simone Sylvan, and DJ Rachel Fay. Tickets are $5 at the door this Thursday, October 13th, at Vancouver Art and Leisure.
AMS Food Bank. Your access to money during the studies at UBC will most likely be limited, but it is a priority of the AMS Food Bank to ensure your access to food is not. The AMS Food Bank provides emergency food relief 7 days a week for all UBC students. To volunteer with the Food Bank or for inquiries about how to take advantage of the services provided, contact them at foodbank@ams.ubc.ca. For more information, find the AMS Food Bank on Facebook or feel free to visit anytime across from the Wellness Center and Sprouts.
All right, with all that information that you need to know, thank you very much. We are back on the Community Living Show on the NCRA Radio Networks and, of course, on both stations, Co-op Radio, which, of course, they're doing the pledge, and CITR 101.9 FM, both stations, for the full hour show. So let's get on to it. And of course, my name's Kelly Rayburn, along with Michael Rubin. And Michael, you have a guest on
the
show.
Yes, I actually have a guest. And this particular guest is probably one of the bigger guests that we have besides our political figures in a very long time. Sheldon Reynolds, formerly of Earth, Wind, and Fire. I had to say this, Sheldon. I was a very big fan of Earth, Wind, and Fire back in the day. So,
me too.
So, well, one of the reasons why we wanted to have you come on the show because mm-hmm. you're an advocate and also you have Parkinson's. Is that right?
Yes, sir. I've been sort of wrestling with it for about 5 or 6 years.
So, yeah.
I take it as though it's not going to get me if I keep fighting. I just keep fighting.
You know what? We actually promote that sort of attitude here on Community Living Radio. Mm. It's like, don't give in to it.
That's right. I'm stopping the shaking, as they say.
Yeah. So, one of the things is, I guess, when did you first find out that you have Parkinson's?
I noticed, you know, that there was something going on about six or more years ago. And I thought it was because I'm also diabetic, and I thought maybe it was a result of that.
Mm-hmm.
But as I look back, you know, I think about 8 years ago, something was, you know, brewing. And then I didn't really get confirmed until about maybe 5 years ago. And I went to my wife. Just we'd gone to a doctor before, but he didn't confirm it. He just suspected it. But we just got up one night, and she said, "We're going to the emergency room. We're gonna get you checked out because this is not right. Something's not right." And we got there and had a bunch of tests run, and they said, "You know, you definitely are correct. That's it."
Wow. Oh.
And the funny thing is, there's so many possibilities of, you know, different things that were being addressed. And, you know, I was not relieved, but I almost sort of exhaled when they said Parkinson's. You know, I just went, oh, okay.
Yeah, you hear that from some people. It's more one of those things that they have an answer.
Yeah. So it seemed like, okay, well, we can battle this. You know, let's try to figure out what's needed to, you know, to get it. Because I knew from working with Maurice that he had, you know, he was experiencing it. And then, of course, we know Muhammad Ali and Michael J. Fox and others, you know.
Mm-hmm. So yeah, we're actually broadcasting from near Michael J. Fox's hometown.
It's in Burnaby.
In Burnaby, yeah. Yep.
Oh, cool.
Yeah, Vancouver and Burnaby sit right next to each other.
Mm. So, mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. And he also is a very big advocate for awareness of Parkinson's, so people know what the heck's going on, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, there's a lot of people trying to, you know, speak up and bring awareness to it, you know, because it, just like it sneaks up on us, we're trying to sneak up on it and blast it and get it out of here.
Yeah. So, just so people are aware, what are some of the symptoms that you experienced before you were mm-hmm. diagnosed?
There was a sense of lethargicness and... You know, really bad balance. I mean, the balance got to be really worrisome and, you know, irritating, I guess you'd say. And they often talk about, you know, like a sort of deteriorating gait. Your gait seems to be going off whack. And then, of course, the visible things that people see a lot of the shaking and stuff. And I didn't have that back then, but I had periodic moments where it would happen, and then it would stop for a few weeks, and then I'd have another moment, and it began to increase a little bit. And that's when I finally, you know, went and got it checked out and made sure.
Yeah. So you said this was 6 years ago, and you were still mm-hmm. performing live on stage and everything, right?
Yeah. I mean, I actually have... continued. I had a point where I had to sit down a lot, you know, just like, you know, arrange the shows where I would sit down and do my thing, and that worked out okay, but it was sort of, you know, not exactly what the core fans had been used to seeing of me, of the videos and things that are seeing me dancing around like a, you know, like I'm trying to be Michael Jackson or something. So, you know, it was kind of, you know, a letdown in a sense for me to be kind of relegated to a chair the whole time. But to be honest, that's not happening anymore. I do get fatigued sometimes, but it's gotten much better, and hopefully will continue to, you know, improve.
Yeah. I have performed on small stages and things like that, and I know that, you know, as a performer, you want to get your best out there all the time, because that's what people mm-hmm. came to see. You know, yeah. How emotionally, what was that like, knowing that, okay, I can't dance tonight, I'm going to have to sit down? How mm-hmm. emotionally, what happened there?
Oh, it was a drag. I mean, you'd be, you know, you're used to doing things to make people happy, and that was my dedication, to make people happy. And for those hour or 2 hour shows, we just let them not have to worry about things, just enjoy your life and not worry about the bills and, you know, et cetera, et cetera, and the people that are walking against you and all that stuff. It was kind of, you know, a letdown to not be able to deliver that the way I had become accustomed. But it also made me more aware of how to do it a different way. And it made me dig deeper in terms of expressing myself from an inner spirit more than just a performer, you know. And that's actually been a plus, you know, because I was a guy who grew up very shy. I was very afraid to express myself in a lot of ways, and I did it through music. Mm-hmm. And so having to do it now at you know, because of the Parkinson's, was sort of, you know, there was a certain, I should say it was a good thing in a sense, because it made me have to dig in deep, you know. And now I'm comfortable either way, you know, whether we are dancing or sitting down, either way is fine.
Yeah.
And, but I have to say, you know, that, you know, getting the right medications and following the doctor's orders and, you know, trying to keep that exercise going. And for me, there was, you know, also the help of one particular herbal medicine that is called Activate. That it's like a liquid drop from a company called Sunrise Pharmaceuticals. Mm-hmm. And that has come, for whatever reason, it has helped my balance. It's a wonderful herbal, you know, recipe that they put together. It seems to be doing something very good. And I pray it keeps going, because it's helped me for sure.
Yeah.
Mm. You're speaking to Sheldon. We are speaking with Sheldon Williams, who
Reynolds.
Is... Who?
Sheldon Reynolds.
Reynolds. I'm sorry.
Williams is fine, too.
Yeah. Reynolds. Okay, thank you.
Worse.
My yeah. mistake. We're speaking with Sheldon Reynolds. You're an author of the Earth, Wind, and the Fire, or am I mistaken?
You said, I couldn't hear you.
I was asking if you were the author of the Earth, Wind, and the Fire.
Earth, Wind, and Fire, the band. He was the
one
of the lead singers and lead guitarist.
One of the lead singers. All right.
Yes, sir.
All right. So
I was an author in the group of writing songs.
Yeah.
So. Okay.
I was going to get to the songwriting part too.
Yeah, so we'll get to that. Yeah. In case anybody who's listening is to our full hour show on Co-op Radio, we're doing the full hour show because of the pledge drive. We're doing this for the cause of for our pledge, because normally we have to rent the studios, the microphones, the lights, everything for that matter. So please give us a call, 604-684-8494. That's for Co-op Radio listeners to make the pledge for Co-op Radio. So that's why we're doing this for an hour, and our regular programming will be back again around 3 o'clock. So stay tuned for that. Anyway, so we're talking to Sheldon Reynolds. You've got more questions on to him?
Yes. We discussed that how Parkinson's was kind of a blessing and took away some from your performing. And it's pretty interesting to hear you say that it made you dig deeper into the art.
Yeah, it's, you know, it's like when we musicians celebrate people like Stevie Wonder and, you know, many others, but, you know, I choose Stevie because of his battle with, you know, blindness.
Mm-hmm.
He has sort of become the poster child for really digging deep and expressing deepest parts of, you know, music, lyric, you know, production, you know, recording techniques, and playing all the instruments and all the stuff. He's really, really the master of that. You know, Prince was one of those types as well.
Yes.
But it's like, you know, sometimes life and physical circumstances make you dig deeper than what you maybe are comfortable with. And that also can be a positive, because it also brings out the best in you, you know, and maybe the worst, but then you'll know how to fix it, you know, because you're aware of what you're doing. You know, because even Parkinson's affects my speech sometimes, and, you know, body language, and you're trying to correct things, and you're aware of it, so you can actually fight, because you know what you're fighting.
Yeah, because I do remember that, like, one of the most articulate people I've ever known of in my life was Muhammad Ali, and when he was in Atlanta for the Olympics, this articulate person, it almost seemed like he was almost trapped inside of himself. because of the disease, right?
Yeah, that's kind of where you are. You, sometimes people say, you know, they see you moving in a funny way or something, and they just kind of say, well, straighten up or whatever, you know, and you're like, I'd love to. If I could, you know.
Yeah.
So it's kind of hard because everyone can't appreciate the simple things that we do with our bodies that sometimes get to become a, you know, like a real struggle, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like you're inside a box and you're inside a window looking out and you're like, can they see me? I mean, you know, it's like the curtain's closed or something. Nobody can see you but you, you know.
Right. So that brings us to a point of awareness, you know. People need more information in order to better understand, at least those who want to understand. So what kind of information should we be giving to everybody in the world so they understand that, hey, you know, Sheldon isn't walking down the street drunk. He has a neurological disorder. I guess it is neurological, right?
Yes.
Yeah.
That's from what they understand to this point. Yeah.
So what do we have to get through to people's heads is to make them see that, hey, there's a disorder, not it's some self-inflicted thing?
Well, I mean, we can... I'm a simple person. I come from, you know, good old-fashioned people who just ask some straight questions. We can care about people and ask, are you all right?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, we can start there, you know, and, you know, because we watch people make fun of, you know, disabled people all the time and presume that they're drunk or that they're drugged or that they're, you know, doing something that they had no business doing. And very often it's a result of the ailment and their body's reaction to the medicine they're taking. You know, it can be any number of things. But if we just show a concern with each other, we'll probably have a very, very wonderful upswing in the way society gets along with each other.
Do you think we do that now?
Show concern to each other?
Yeah. Some of us? Okay.
Yeah, some of us do it, but, you know, a lot of times, because we're so busy with our own pursuits and struggles and stuff, we don't often pay attention to each other, you know. And some of our ancestors could teach us something, you know, about, you know, stopping and making sure someone's all right, you know, and, you know, help them in some sort of way, even if it's just help them walk across the street, just make sure they're okay. You know, if we show that to the younger set that's coming up, and it'll sink in, not to every one of them, but it'll sink into them more than one. If we can get more than one, then that just adds up to continued growth of health and concern for humanity.
Yeah. Yeah, it's funny you bring up the younger ones, because as being part of the grown generation, shall we say, I hear so many people say that, oh, they're just stuck on themselves, they're too self-centered, mm-hmm. and all this kind of stuff. But I always wonder to myself, if I don't actually say it out loud, is like, but what are we actually teaching them?
Mm-hmm.
You know,
that's the bottom line. That's what are we teaching them? Because, I mean, they didn't make the world they came into, so I mean, it's, you know, they're reacting to what you've shown them.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, what they're hearing and in your actions. So we just have to be conscious of what we're teaching them.
Yeah. Because I know when I was younger, if I snubbed somebody a day, you best believe I caught heck from my mom about, it's like, mm-hmm. no one can afford to be a snob or a snoot. You know, you have to show compassion to everybody, no matter where they walk from. So.
Yeah, I mean, I've had, you know, I mean, I'm in the Hollywood world, and I see it all the time. I mean, I've had many times where, been sitting or talking with someone who's, you know, just boasting about their whole existence, and they're unaware of my where I have been and what I've done or anything. And it's like you're just sitting there and they're just boasting about stuff that you've done 10 times over. Mm-hmm. And I don't particularly like to brag about anything, so I just sit there and, okay, that's wonderful. I'm glad you did that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Good. And when they find out who you are, and then suddenly they're, you know, treating you like, you know, king and queen, and it's like you're just like, well, no, I'm the same person I was, you know, 10 minutes ago.
Mm.
So,
yeah. <you know. laughs> Sheldon, we're going to take a break. So can we put you on hold for just a moment while we take our breaks?
Sure.
All right. So we'll be back in a moment here. You're tuned in to the Community Living Show here on the NCRA Radio Networks. Of course, we will be back with more Pledge Drive that is on Co-op Radio, the fall Pledge Drive that is happening right now. So we will give you the details right after this. And for everybody else on the NCRA Radio Networks, we will be back in just a moment here. And, of course, I'm Kelly, and this is Michael. We'll be back with more Community Living and Sheldon Reynolds.
The most powerful motivational speeches that I have ever heard came from people who told me I couldn't do something. You know why? Because when they told me I couldn't do it, I was bound and determined to show them that I could.
Did you know CITR has an accessibility collective? Our new collective serves to explore issues of inclusion, equity, and accessibility for people with physical and cognitive disabilities on campus and beyond. If you love making radio, listening to radio, or want to get involved for the first time, come join our collective. We include people of all abilities, experience levels, and backgrounds in the production and programming of our show. Tune in to our weekly show, All Access Pass, from 5 to 6 p.m. on Thursdays for interviews, music, news, events, and awesome dialogues. If you want to get involved, email accessibilitycollective@citr.ca. If only I could
dream, we could start again. Tune in to La Fiesta every other Sunday from 3 to 5 p.m. with your host, Nick Arana. Listen to internationally acclaimed Musica Latina Caliente that makes your body move and your heart beat.
Okay, we're back with more on Sheldon Reynolds here on the Community Living Show on the National Campus and Radio Community Radio Association Networks. Both stations are on full hours now, CITR 101.9 FM, and of course on Co-op Radio, CFRO 100.5 FM. And you there, Sheldon?
Yes, sir.
All right.
Okay. So, I guess we've talked a little bit about what awareness would look like for people, you know, the compassion and things like that. So how would you want to use the entertainment world to bring awareness to Parkinson's?
Well, I look at it as though anytime someone's in the public eye, I thoroughly believe we have a responsibility to give them our best. Because people of young age and old age are watching, in a lot of cases, are listening. Mm-hmm. And we can help society by what we say, how we say it, how we act it, you know. Not trying to be as if we're some sort of angel that, you know, is flawless, but being real. I mean, people who have made bad mistakes sometimes are the best teachers, because they've already been through what you're trying to keep you from going through.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and, you know, it's like I remember many times as a kid, you know, the uncles and the, you know, grandfather and grandmom and all of them would say stuff, you know, like, you know, do as I do, not as I say do, or whatever. You know, it's like, you know, you learn not just from music and celebrity, but you know, real people that have just good old wisdom that can help you walk, you know, correctly in life. But the entertainer who's out in front really has the responsibility to, you know, to realize that what you do, someone is watching. And, you know, a great story in my life, one of my favorite stories, is standing in the lobby of a hotel one day when I was traveling over in Europe. A young man walked up to me who was about 15, 16 years old and called me by name. And I'm like, who are you? Like, how do you know me? Mm-hmm. I'm thinking, you don't know who I am. I'm just a musician. And you know, we're in Italy or someplace, you know. And he says, no, I know you because my first concert was Earth, Wind, and Fire when I was about 9 years old. My mom took me. And I play guitar now because I was, you know, really just influenced by, you know, you. Mm-hmm. And I was in tears by that time he told me that. So, you know, because I could have been a, you know, crazy bank robber or something, you know, and he could have been imitating that, you know.
Yeah.
So, you know, you never know who's watching.
Mm. Yeah, that's very true. You never know, you don't know who's actually watching, you know.
Mm-hmm.
So, is it that you want to put on a series of shows to show people, you know?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, we're kind of forging a lot of ideas together now, but I mean they would revolve around doing, you know, doing events and shows and you know, also literature and you know, we've got people who have art and books and stuff. It all sort of helped to raise awareness to the struggle, because some of these things that we're trying to do are done by people who have the, you know, Parkinson's or other ailments.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, we can help them by just helping them, you know, supporting what they're doing. Because, you know, when you carry something like this, it's like, you know, as a musician, you know, we take for granted our, you know, fingers and hands and body movement and stuff, you know, sometimes don't come the same way as they used to. And yet you see a lot of, born out of that, you see a determination to not let it stop you from a lot of artists, and to hear their music or see their artwork or photography or books.
Mm-hmm.
Can be inspiring of its own because they're still able to get it done even though they're fighting an extraordinary battle, you know. So we'd like to do a lot of stuff like that. It highlights great people and great things that are overcoming ailments and blockades that, you know, could make many people just give up and quit, you know.
Yeah, I guess that would be the whole point, is to keep people from actually quitting, to make them realize that they can still keep moving forward, right?
That's it. Because, I mean, you know, as long as you got breath, there's always a will, there's a way.
Yeah. So that's a very familiar message.
That's the one.
Yeah. So I think that was the biggest one I heard growing up, is like, don't give up, just keep trying. There's been some pretty star-studded telethons and things like that. You remember some people here in Canada may not have known about the Jerry Lewis telethons. Mm-hmm. And then they recently had the shout out to stop cancer or something like that. Events, things like that. Is that something we should be looking from you and the folks you work with? Some kind of show like that?
That's what we're trying to do. That's exactly the model, because I mean those were very, I mean Jerry Lewis was the mold for what we need to be doing now. I mean it's, mm-hmm. Well, not just Parkinson's, but for all sorts of, you know, things that are going on in society, and the most recent, you know, Stop Cancer show as well. So we definitely want to, you know, follow in the footsteps of those programs, because they reach a lot of people, and they reach them in a way that is not sort of, you know, scaring you from trying to do anything, or, you know, talking too high on the medical terms where you don't understand what they're saying. They were mm-hmm. balanced and informative and allowed the listener or the watcher to take in what they could and what they were interested in, and at the same time be entertained by people who are, you know, heroes and also maybe battling, you know, some of the same elements, you know.
Yeah.
This year has been a rough year for the entertainment world. I mean, there's been, you know, some dear friends of mine and, you know, people that the world loved that have just, you know, suddenly exited. And we've got to take time to pay attention to, you know, what's going on, because life is not guaranteed, as we can see.
Yeah, you said that, and you reminded me of course, David Bowie.
Mm-hmm, that's right.
I actually, I got to see him on stage one time, but I also got to meet him once also. Very down-to-earth person. It's part of some of the business I do, because I have a business that actually is in film and photography. So you get to meet people, right? You know, and... He was a very well loved person, you know. So,
yeah, he was cool. I had a brief encounter with him in an elevator in Australia. Just we were playing there. I was with, I think, the Commodores at the time, and he jumped on the elevator, and he was just, you know, just for a couple of seconds he was there, but it was really cool. He was very friendly and, you know, very.
Was this?
On this. Probably like 1986 or somewhere.
Or around that time, yeah.
Yeah, it was somewhere in that time.
Oh, wow.
Yeah,
I think he was in a transition period at that time, wasn't he?
Of course.
Yeah. So.
Yeah,
he reinvented himself very many times.
Mm-hmm. That's right, he did. And you got to know how to do that, because, I mean, some of what you spoke of, you know, the whole idea of having to sit down and do some of what I've done in the last few years is part of reinventing, because you say, okay, well, I've been doing it this way, and if I keep doing it this way, I'm going to fall off the stage and become a comedy act.
Yeah.
So what can we do different, and, you know, to reinvent immediately?
Yeah. So do you have any... support groups or anything that you're behind right now, or is it or are you still working on all that?
We're still working on it. I mean, we definitely have you know, working with the Sunrise pharmaceutical company to do some really good things with them, because they're getting results of their product now, and it's one of those things that, like the grandma would have given you. It's like, just take this and, you know, two times, and just, you know, get on and go to school and get your education. it's like it's working. I don't know what it's doing, but it's doing something good. And I know that when I before I was taking it, I had a terrible problem that was developing of being not able to stand in one place other than just to keep sort of stepping back and forward and sideways, and that was just very irritating. And after literally 20 minutes after taking it the first time, that sort of ceased, and it just became where it wasn't there anymore.
Yeah.
You know, and we're definitely going to be working with them to try to help whoever we can, to become aware of their product, and then organizations that are trying to help other ailments as well, and bring events that can uplift people. Because the thing is the first part of healing has got to be mental and spiritual. Because you can fight a lot of things with determination of the spirit, and that may not, you know, go away if you don't believe it already. That if you don't believe it can be healed, it won't be.
Right.
You know. You got to believe first, and you know, you can take all the medicine you want, but it's like, if you don't believe it, it's going to be just a bunch of medicine, and a lot of times medicine gets abused, and yeah, disaster.
You're right.
Mm-hmm. How do we get a hold of you?
If
they want more about you.
I'm personally, you can say hello on Facebook anytime.
Okay.
I try to answer all my stuff myself. And I do performances with a group called Kalimba.
Mm-hmm.
That do an Earth, Wind & Fire tribute. They're a fabulous group that does an Earth, Wind & Fire tribute. And you can reach me through there, and it'll give you all the foundation information to, you know, to support and donate and everything. And I'll get you all the information for all the stuff we're building right now, is, you know, ASAP.
Mm.
Okay.
So,
great.
Yeah, we definitely trying to do that. So, KalimbaBand.com, Facebook, you know, just say hello anytime. And whatever you do to help somebody, just care about somebody.
Mm. All right. We're pretty much out of time. Thank you very much, Sheldon, for having us on our show.
Yeah.
God bless.
Take care now.
God bless you too. Thank you.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
Bye-bye.
All right. So that was Sheldon Reynolds.
Yes.
A musician, of course, from his album Earth, Wind, and Fire.
Yeah.
So
actually, Earth, Wind, and Fire had a few albums out. They were really popular during the 80s.
Mm-hmm.
As a band, yeah. So
for those of you listening to us on Co-op Radio, we will do our pledge drive now. Give us a call, 604-684-8494. For everybody else, this is our end of our show. And, of course, our regular programming will be back on the air after 3 o'clock on Co-op Radio. So for those of you tuning in, please give us a call. For everybody else, this is the end of the show.
Thank you for joining us.
And we will be back again next week at the same time, same station.
Yeah, next week we should have a security specialist. He actually gives seminars on security tips for people with disabilities.
Yeah.
And he's got a really interesting story about a lady in a wheelchair. So you have to give a listen to hear that.
All right. So all right. Stick around for that for next week. Take care, everybody.
Bye.
Bye-bye.
Did you see your brother standing by the road with a heavy load from the scene he sold? And did you see your sister falling by the way, just stop and say, going the wrong way? You got to try a little kindness, show a little kindness, shine your light for everyone to see. And if you try a little kindness, then you overlook their blindness, for the narrow-minded people on the narrow-minded street. Helping hand instead of doubt, and the kindness that you stow every day will help someone along their way. You got to try a little kindness, show a little kindness, shine your light for everyone to see. And if you try a little kindness, then you overlook their blindness, for the narrow-minded people on the narrow-minded street. You got to try a little kindness, let off show a little kindness, just shine your light for everyone to see. And if you try a little kindness, then you overlook their blindness, for the narrow-minded people on the narrow-minded street.
listening to CITR 101.9, broadcasting from UBC's Point Grey campus, located on the traditional, unceded Coast Salish territory of the Hunkaminam-speaking Musqueam people.